Well, welcome, dear ones, and greetings to all of those who are here in the room and those joining us on the phone or listening to the recording. I'm glad to have you in fellowship with us today. We have a very important sermon to get into, so let's move right into our service. Our opening song is titled Safely Through Another Week. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek on thy approaching Sabbath day of all the week, the best emblem of eternal rest, day of all the week, the best emblem of eternal rest. Mercies multiplied each hour through the week, our praise demand. Guarded by almighty power, fed and guided by his hand. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin, though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin.
While we pray for pardoning grace through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reverence on your face, shine away our sin and shame. From our worldly cares so free, may we rest this night with thee. From our worldly cares so free, may we rest this day with thee.
When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes when we in thy house appear. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast.
May thy gospel joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints. May the fruits of grace abound, bring relief to all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbath prove, till we join the church above. Thus may all our Sabbath prove, till we join the church above.
Amen. And what a joyful day that will be, when we can join the church above and all with one voice praise our God and the Lamb. And thank you, Father, for bringing us safely through another week. Well, dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much that you're in control of all things, that nothing catches you by surprise, Thank you for giving us thy word that reveals aspects of the future, that we might have hope and that we might understand this truth that you're in control, that everything is working out according to thy will and for the salvation of your people. We thank you, Father, for developing the plan of our salvation, that we might have life, being saved from death. And thank you, Savior, for carrying out your part in this great plan and enabling us to find forgiveness, cleansing, and righteousness by accepting you as our Savior and grace to live like you from that point on. And we thank you, dear Spirit, for making this plan effectual in our lives, not just something that we know, but something we experience. Thank you, dear Godhead, for making this plan possible to be carried out to completion in having a redeemed, saved, righteous people in the end. We pray that you will continue to dwell with us, for we meet here in the name of Jesus. And dear Spirit, we ask that you will indeed remove custom and tradition, preconceived ideas and opinions. Let all stumbling blocks that prevent us from comprehending the truth be removed. And may each listening heart be able to see that straight, clear, upward, narrow path that leads to salvation. Be our teacher, our guide, our reprover and corrector, that we may see the truth and help us to fall in love with it. Help us to fall in love with our Savior and then never give him up. Father, we thank you that we're a day closer to having this earth filled with thy glory as the waters cover the sea. A day closer to having every decision made for or against the Savior. A day closer to the ending of this great controversy. A day closer to going home. Help us to get ourselves ready. And forgive us for taking so long. And again, we thank you that you're in control. And help us to keep looking up. So we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, for being in our midst, for helping us to understand, and for helping us to love our Savior more. In Jesus' name, amen. So praise God for another week of fellowship safely through. And that makes each Sabbath a special time of the week. We've made it through another week. Well, this is part 11 in our series, Babylon Then and Now. And in parts 8, 9, and 10, we learned that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has rejected almost every truth contained in the third angel's message, including Christ and his righteousness. And they have replaced these truths with falsehoods that originated in the evil mind of the devil. And what happened to the Jews when they failed to accept Christ and his righteousness in their day? If you look at quote number one, and for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1468.htm. So lightministries.com/SDA/ID1468.htm. So what happened when the Jews failed to accept Christ and his righteousness? We're told in Desire of Ages, page 283. As the Jews departed from God and failed to make the righteousness of Christ their own by faith, the Sabbath lost its significance to them. And if you understand that Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, then rejecting Christ and failing to have his righteousness their own by faith, then they were also rejecting the Sabbath that he was Lord of. So since the Adventist Church has rejected the truth of Christ and his righteousness, will God's Sabbath day also lose its significance to them as it did with the Jews? What exactly does the Adventist Church of today teach about the Sabbath of God? What do they teach about this last great testing truth of the third angel's message? This is what we'll be investigating into today. But let's review this testing truth of the third angel. If you look at quote number 2, this last great testing truth is that the seventh day or Saturday is the only Lord's day of worship as his Sabbath. It is a special holy day of rest in which we are to cease from all secular labor, from all business and worldly affairs, and devote this 24-hour period of time, this day, the seventh day, to God. This last great testing truth is also that there's no biblical support changing Saturday to Sunday as the Lord's Day, that we must keep the Sabbath holy in obedience to God if we want to make it to heaven, because the Sabbath will be the great test and dividing line between those who follow God and are saved versus those who follow Satan and are lost. And this seventh-day Sabbath is the sign or seal of God. So that's the last great testing truth found in the third angel's message. Now, some believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church could never give up the truth regarding the Sabbath. They reason that because the very name of the church contains the word seventh day in it, that the church can never belittle the Sabbath until they would change their name. Others believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church will remain true to the Sabbath of God until the Sunday law is passed. And then overnight, the church will give the Sabbath up for Sunday. But both of these beliefs are false. And yet they're accepted as truth by thousands of Adventists. And these particular beliefs allow Adventists to remain willingly ignorant as to what is going on in their church. And some even refuse to investigate into what is openly occurring in the church regarding the belief of Saturday being God's Sabbath day. But is there really any evidence that the Adventist Church is belittling and downgrading the Sabbath truth of the third angel and are actually exalting Sunday instead? Well, let's investigate. If you look at quote number 3. What about the truth of the third angel, that the seventh day or Saturday is the Lord's only day of worship as his Sabbath? What does the Adventist Church now state about this truth? In the book, A Pause for Peace, What God's Gift of the Sabbath Can Mean for You, page 114 by Clifford Goldstein, and this book is published by the Pacific Press Publishing Association in 1992. Quote, while the Sabbath commandment has a distinct practical value, the specific day in and of itself doesn't. Thus, keeping any other day could work. End quote. In the Signs of the Times, March 1990, page 22 to 23. God is glad for us to go to church both days, Saturday and Sunday. He wants us to worship him both days. Anybody who takes a whole day out of every week to spend with God will have more of God's power in his life, and God can do more through him and in him. The new beliefs of the church cut directly against the established truth of the third angel. And so we can see that the church is indeed belittling the Sabbath of God and exalting Sunday. Quote, God is glad for us to go to church on both days, Saturday and Sunday, because he wants us to worship him both days. Amazing. You look at quote number four. What about the truth of the Sabbath being a day of rest from our secular labors, business, and worldly affairs? What does the Adventist Church of today now believe about this? This is from To Know God, page 100, by Morris L. Vinden, again published by the Review and Herald Publishing Association in 1983. The truth about God's day of rest, and the truth about rest from our own efforts to overcome sin, are closely related. But I invite you today to enter into God's rest, to cease from your own works in trying to obey and overcome and be victorious. From When God Made Rest, page 21, by George Vandeman, published by the Pacific Press Publishing Association in 1987. Despite our unfinished characters, we stand complete in Christ. His accomplishment at Calvary counts as our atonement. We enter his Sabbath rest. From the book, We Still Believe, After 150 Years of Waiting, Watching, and Hoping, page 62 to 63, by the past General Conference President, Robert S. Falkenberg. This is published by the Pacific Press Publishing Association, 1994. We can be delivered from the slavery of sin and grow in grace only by resting from our own works of obeying God's law and entering his Sabbath rest. So instead of the Sabbath being a day of rest from all our work and business affairs, The SDA Church now believes that the Sabbath rest means to stop trying to overcome sin and perfect our characters. What about other truths regarding God's Sabbath day found in the third angel? If you look at quote number 5. What about the truth that the seventh-day Sabbath is the only sign or seal of the living God? What does the Adventist Church now teach about this truth? From the Adventist Review of May 5, 1994, page 18. The Sabbath is the seal of our love and allegiance to a loving Heavenly Father. From the book We Still Believe, page 65 to 67. Salvation by faith versus salvation by works. The book of Revelation describes this conflict in terms of the seal of God versus the mark of the beast. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 12 is then quoted. The Sabbath, as a sign of God's completed work in us for salvation. So instead of the Sabbath being the seal of God, the Adventist Church now believes it to be the seal of our love, as well as being salvation by faith. What about other truths connected regarding the Sabbath with the third angel? If you look at quote number 6, what about the truth that there's no biblical support whatsoever for the claim that the Sabbath has been changed, or that Sunday is the Lord's Day? What does the Adventist Church believe about this today? From the Pacific Union Recorder of June 4, 1990, page 27. What do Seventh-day Adventists believe? Here, pastor slash evangelist Jerry Webb present a fresh look at the truth. Subjects include Christ-centered reasons for Sunday worship. From the book Confessions of a Nomad, What We Learned in Sinai's Shadow, on page 86 and page 120, by Carolyn and William Self, copyrighted by the Seventh-day Adventist Ministerial Association and published by the Pacific Press Publishing Association in 1998. Listen closely. Quote, all busy people yearn for a day of rest. God himself gives his permission, a command even, for a day to allow the soul and spirit to be refreshed. This is God's gift to us. He will take care of us physically and spiritually if we follow his plan. Our systems need the replenishment. Sunday is a special day for this worship and refreshment. Thoreau said, if you want to destroy the Christian faith, first take away Sunday. He was right. It's a holy day. For those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, it cannot be a holiday. For those of you who have gathered around the cross and have been saved and washed clean by his blood, it is a sacrilege to do anything else on that day except to celebrate what God has done. If we abuse Sunday, we're going to destroy something beautiful that God has given. no Sunday means no church. No church means no worship. No worship means no religion. No religion means no morality. No morality means no society. No society means no government. No government means anarchy. That's the choice before us. End quote. Astounding, dear ones. Published by the Church's Press, copyrighted by the Adventist Ministerial Association, exalting Sunday above the Sabbath. And yet there's more. If you look at quote number 7. What about the truth of the third angel, that God's people must keep the Sabbath if they want to make it to heaven? What does the Adventist Church now believe about this? In Questions on Doctrines, page 153, by the Review and Herald Publishing Association, 1957. Seventh-day Adventists do not rely upon their Sabbath keeping as a means of salvation or of winning merit before God. We are saved by grace alone. From the book We Still Believe, page 64. If we consider Sabbath keeping a requirement for salvation, we have turned the commandment on its head. We are not entering into God's rest at all. Rather, we are depending on ourselves and our works. From Seventh-day Adventist evangelist Kenneth Cox, representing the Seventh-day Adventist Church on live television, that the program or the talk show was Central Florida Live. It was hosted by George Crossley in Central Florida. The TV station was WTGL, Channel 52, and this occurred on February 8, 1993. If you don't worship on the Sabbath, are you going to hell? Kenneth Cox stated, no. What about other truths? You look at quote number 8. What does the Adventist Church today teach about the great test and dividing line between the followers of God who are saved versus the followers of the devil who are lost? What does the Adventist Church now believe about the Sabbath being this great test? From the book We Still Believe, page 65. If the question of God's true Sabbath is merely a matter of choice between 2 days, it hardly seems significant enough to become the dividing line between the saved and the lost at the end of time. Just to be able to prove from the Bible that we are right doesn't seem a point important enough to die for. So in the end of time, the real issue will not be Saturday versus Sunday. It will be salvation by faith versus salvation by works. Amazing. So the Seventh-day Adventist Church states today that God's seventh-day Sabbath, his fourth commandment, his holy day, is not important enough to die for. And they also state that the real issue at the end of time, which divides the followers of God from the followers of the devil, between the saved and the lost, will not be Saturday versus Sunday. Do you believe that this is the truth, what the Adventist Church states here? God doesn't believe it. God's inspired word is too plain and clear to be misunderstood. God's inspired word says just the opposite of what the Adventist Church teaches today. In the Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 983. In the warfare to be waged in the last days, there will be united in opposition to God's people all the corrupt powers that have apostatized from allegiance to the law of Jehovah. In this warfare, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment will be the great point at issue. For in the Sabbath commandment, the great lawgiver identifies himself as the creator of the heavens and the earth. In Testimonies, Volume 1, page 353 and 354, the decree will go forth that they, or God's commandment-keeping people, must disregard the Sabbath of the fourth commandment and honor the first day, or lose their lives. But they will not yield and trample under their feet the Sabbath of the Lord and honor an institution of the papacy. From the 1888 materials, page 477. Be sure the Sabbath is a test question, and how you treat this question places you either on God's side or Satan's side. And then from Historical Sketches, page 234. All will be judged according to the light that has shone upon them. If they have light upon the Sabbath, they cannot be saved in rejecting that light. So then, who are you going to believe and follow in this issue? Are you going to believe what God says about his Sabbath versus Sunday, or what the church says about the Sabbath versus Sunday? If you choose to follow the Seventh-day Adventist Church and its leadership in downgrading God's Sabbath, you will, without a doubt, receive the mark of the beast and lose eternal life. So the church is leading you and others directly to the loss of your souls. So far, we've seen that the Adventist Church and its leadership are already disregarding the Sabbath of the Lord. They're misleading people. They are holding up Sunday on an equality with God's Sabbath. It doesn't matter which day you worship on, God accepts your worship. But will the Adventist Church and its leadership also begin to exalt the false Sabbath of the devil as being the Lord's Day? Many Adventists refuse to believe that their church could turn such traitorous against God and do such a blasphemous evil as to exalt Sunday above God's Sabbath. After all, they're called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. How could they possibly exalt Sunday above the Sabbath? and they believe that such blatant apostasy by a Sabbath-keeping church has never occurred before in history, and so since there's no precedent, it never can occur with the Adventist church today. But dear ones, history clearly reveals that such blatant apostasy from God by his people has indeed occurred before, when the Sabbath-keeping early Christian church united with their pagan neighbors. This union between the two caused the Sabbath-keeping church to become corrupt, which in turn gave birth to Roman Catholicism. And as a result, the apostate church gradually lost its respect for the true Sabbath, and then its leadership decided to give it up for Sunday. The apostate church leadership then implemented two major steps that were calculated to lead their Sabbath-keeping membership into also losing respect for the Sabbath and to begin worshiping on Sunday. So the apostate apostolic church became Roman Catholicism, and the leadership gave up the Sabbath of God to worship on Sunday, and then they implemented two major steps to lead their Sabbath-keeping membership into also joining them in worshiping on Sunday. Would you like to know what these two major steps were? This is what we'll be discovering next time. You can already see that the Adventist Church and its leadership are downgrading the Sabbath. Will they also exalt Sunday above the Sabbath? That's what we'll discover next time. The apostasy is so blatant. It's hard to imagine that any Adventists who know these things can remain silent. It's astounding. May we not remain silent. May we never give up the Sabbath. May we always show our love for God by keeping his commandments. And may we let others know that the great testing truth for the entire world before probation closes is whether they will love God enough to worship him on his day, or whether they will love the church more and worship on a different day. Our closing song is Holy Day, Jehovah's Rest. Holy Day, Jehovah's Rest, of creation's week the best, last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God to man 'twas given. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
First his 6 days' work was done, Then the Sabbath was begun. Thus he blessed the seventh day, and in resting we obey. Welcome, glad we hail its presence blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Thousands has his plans reversed, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you will know, there's no scripture tells them so. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed, this the great Jehovah's rest.
All who speak the truth must say, it was the Pope who changed the day. In God's word no change appeared through the whole 6,000 years. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Thus I searched, and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, then I hasted to obey. Plainly 'twas the only way. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Amen. And may we stand for the Lord of the Sabbath and send the last message of warning and mercy to all the world, including to the Adventist Church. And I pray, dear ones, that God will prepare hearts to receive the message of truth, that individuals will see the uplifted Savior, will fall in love with Him, will follow the Lamb whithersoever He leads them into keeping the seventh-day Sabbath holy, and continue to follow Him out of all the fallen apostate churches, that they may indeed be free in Jesus Christ, who has set them free from the prison house. And thank you, Savior, for allowing us to be your witnesses, to lead others to you for salvation. Please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, thank you for allowing us to gather together, to have the freedom to investigate into these very startling things. And thank you for giving us your word of inspiration that keeps us on that straight and narrow, even though the church and its leadership is trying to steer us a different direction. Help us to always stand for Jesus, to always confess Him before men and before churches, to always follow Him where He leads, and to never give Him up. Help us to keep His seventh-day Sabbath holy. He's the one that made it holy, that set it apart, that sanctified it and hallowed it. And He promises to do the same for all His people who also hallow and keep sacred the Sabbath. Please continue to lead and guide us. Continue to work upon our hearts. Continue to fill it as well as this world with thy light, thy glory. And we claim the promise in Habakkuk 2:14 that as the waters cover the sea, so will thy glory fill this earth. Thank you that this earth is being filled more with your glory today than last week. And next week it will be even more. Thank you for letting us have a part to play in swelling thy glory. And please raise up more laborers and send them into thy harvest field that it may go that much quicker. For this world is not our home. It's growing more wicked as each day passes. And thank you for granting us the promise of a very peaceful, restful, holy, righteous world where there's no death or sorrow or sadness or catastrophes, no evil, just joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, and contentment. Thank you, dear Savior, for making it possible, and thank you, dear Father, for developing the plan. And thank you, dear Spirit, for making it work within us. In Jesus' name we pray. It's so hard reading through what the church now believes, because that's not why God raised them up. We should have already been in the kingdom if it wasn't for insubordination and apostasy. But the people have to know. The blinders have to be removed. The light has to shine in the darkness so that they have the precious knowledge that they need in order to make an intelligent decision for God or for the church. And dear ones, it gets worse. If you thought today was worse, wait until next time. Are there any questions, any thoughts, comments, testimonies, insights, anything that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead. One thing that I've been astounded at is Ellen White tells us that the apostasy that we can see and document is just the tip of a gigantic iceberg on how vast the apostasy really is. So what we can see exposed is just the very tip of how vast the apostasy is in the Adventist Church. It's greater than any of us can imagine. But it exists. Yeah, it is very sad. And you know, the first time that I understood that the church was part of Babylon, but the first time I shared it with someone. I broke down and just bawled. Because the thought came to me on how much time Jesus had put into developing this church. He'd been waiting for 18 centuries for this church to come about. And when he entered into the most holy place, it was time for the church to be born. And it was born. He watched over it. He encouraged the members. He sent his spirit to work upon hearts. He prepared for centuries for this church to come into being. And then he made sure that they had the light of truth that was necessary to finish the work. And then to see the apostasy growing and strengthening and increasing throughout the decades. To see the visions and the insights that God gave to Ellen White being spurned, being ignored. And finally, Ellen White dying. And then through the decades since, seeing the apostasy increasing and growing and strengthening and more people being deceived. The amount of sadness he's had to endure. But he didn't give up. He's now set aside the Adventist church and is calling others to take her place. And he will continue to work on that same process, that same principle. He calls you and me into his work, working with us, strengthening us, encouraging us, enlightening us, giving his grace and strength to live the truth and to share the truth. If we too follow in the footsteps of our apostate fathers, we too are going to be set aside and God's going to choose others to take our place. But there will be a final people, the remnant, who will unite themselves so fully with Christ Jesus that they can never be separated from him. There will be 144,000 people. And then the end will come. You and I and others have that precious chance, that glorious honor of making up one of those numbers. But the great work of God doesn't depend upon you or me alone. I pray that we will never exalt ourselves to the point that we think that God's cause cannot advance without our input. Because then we're indulging in pride and we will be set aside, and others who are humble and contrite will take our place. God can finish his work without me, without you, but his work will be accomplished in righteousness. I pray with you and me. Let us remain faithful to the end. Let us endure unto the end. Let us keep our hand on the plow moving forward. Let us continue following our Savior wherever he leads us. And not draw back. There's nothing there that's worth going back for. Let us remain clean and not long for the mire that we've been separated from. And what a glorious future awaits each one of us. For to me to live is Christ. Let's keep looking to Him. Are there any last thoughts or comments, dear ones, before we close this service? Please go right ahead.
We'll have a question a little bit later, but it's irrelevant to the subject.
Write it down, dear brother. We want to hear it. It's important.
Not important enough to write down, but if you'll let me ask it to you a little bit later, I will.
Okay.
Elder Rob, when I first came into the Sabbath Truth and I learned about the 144,000, I was so disheartened because I was like, there's so many people in this world. Why only 144,000? But as you got to understand more and more, you can see why 144,000 and understand it, because many are called but few are chosen. It's a very, very solemn thing to understand and to recognize. A very, very, very solemn thing.
Yeah, amen. And when you think about it, 144,000 is an extremely large number of people who remain faithful to God in the last days when the mark of the beast and the deception is so great. But it's possible, because God says it. And if God says it, then it's fact. Now, one interesting thing is that you're not going to see 144,000 people all in one place. There may be 100 people scattered throughout the U.S. There may be 40,000 people scattered throughout Asia and the rest elsewhere, right? But you're not going to see them. You may see one or two, but you're not going to see a whole lot. So to our limited eyesight, it appears impossible. To God's sight, who sees everything at the same time all around the world, it's possible. He sees it happening, even though we may not. So there again is exercising faith. It will take place because God said it will, even though I don't see it. It's still taking place. So there's going to be a whole lot more people that are saved. They will die in the faith. They'll be raised up in the first resurrection when Christ comes. But those that remain alive for God after probation closes is only going to be 144,000. All the rest are the wicked. And they received the plague. So, to realize that Elijah was translated without seeing death, but Moses saw death and was resurrected, they represent these two groups. There's going to be a vast more amount of redeemed that come from the grave in the first resurrection than the 144,000 who remain alive until Christ comes. The Bible in Revelation 7 calls this vast number of redeemed from the grave the great multitude that no one can number of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. They're so vast, they can't be counted. It doesn't mean it's an infinite amount. It just means it's beyond human computation. But it's reality. God's kingdom has multitudes of redeemed. And that's a cause for rejoicing. Yeah, amen. The path is indeed narrow, but with Christ, it can be walked. We just have to hold on to Him every step of the way. Well, dear ones, any last thoughts? Please feel free. Have a wonderful remaining Sabbath day, and those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful new week. Keep growing in grace, dear ones. Keep studying. Keep sharing your faith. Keep doing works of goodness and kindness and righteousness to others. And keep looking.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't realize my mic was on until my box turned green. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.